Sharp and Benning in the Morning on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and the 1620 The Zone app. Here are Gary Sharp and Damon Benning.
And the 3-2. Swinging a drive. Deep left field. It's got a chance. Gone. Welcome to the Chicago Cubs, Christopher Morel. He missed first base. He goes back and steps on it. What a moment.
Halftime, Sharp and Benning in the Morning on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com. Brought to you by Hearth Cigars, Pipes, and Lounge. You want to enjoy a nice cigar, a little cocktail, have everybody love everybody. Great location off the North 48th Street exit, the Mormon Bridge Road, right next to Cubbies.
I jumped the gun there. I was so excited about the Cubs beating the Pirates. That's a big deal. Two straight games, they've shut them out. But Pat Hughes calling the home run of a guy that got called up from Double A.
Were you happy about that?
He was.
How about the bat flip only to miss first base?
I know.
The bat flip was legit.
Also had an unnecessary bench clearing, hey, how you doing type moment in that game.
Yeah.
With a hard slide at home plate. That was unnecessary. But welcome back in. Sharp and Betting in the Morning. Been a good show so far. Lots of discussion here. We will continue the discussion going. Bottom of the hour. Dirk Chatelain will stop by.
Hey.
Couple of things here on the old Gretna West Side rivalry, which we now will have a traveling trophy. Mitch Robb says, you keep mentioning cheer competition, Gretna and West Side. Wanted to let you know that Millard West has won state more than 20 years in a row and called multiple national championships.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That wouldn't be their one to see.
Mm. Jason, by the way, isn't it about time for another chip delivery? Gretna won state cheer this year in their non-tumbling category. Give you one guess who was second. Okay. Just going to keep tallying these up. It's a good year. 2021, 2022, 2022 is a good year. Got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do.
I like this side of you. Anything I can do to help it, just let me know.
I'm here for it. So somebody in my DMs, you know, because they're open. 80. LMAO00000000.
Laugh my
all the way off. Yeah, I accepted it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I, you know, it's. Sometimes you just you're forced to be an adult. It's not personal. Allegedly. Oh, man.
We have a new, a budding competitive field between Gretna and Westside.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's good. Huh.
I can't wait to give you some new material, though.
No, I'm here for it because I like storylines. I like people at both schools. I know people at both schools. I have, of course, more of a vested interest in Omaha West Side.
It's not even a. I don't know. It's whatever. That's why you got to play the game.
Yeah. All right, Dirk Chatelain's coming up here in a little bit. More response to the player that will silence the critics. There is a lot of, and I'm not going to call it love. Caleb Tanner is getting a lot of run in this unofficial poll that we have put together that created the discussion.
What are you laughing at now?
You have to see. Your whole family's on Twitter, aren't they?
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
Check your replies. Or your mentions.
Oh, Lord. Everybody's got jokes. And she knows that's a sore spot.
Hey, the cheerleading competition, and Mitch is right. Millard West is exceptionally good. I think Millard North is pretty good. And I go off.
They are.
When you go to sporting events and they come out and they perform at halftime or state championship events where they mm-hmm. perform and they give their resume, which they I love that they do. They're state champions, or they've competed in national competition.
Hey, I'm Gary Sharp here for promoting high school tension and rivalries.
Oh, and no! I'm the guy that
I couch it by saying everybody love everybody. Get me Bell West and Papio South online one, please.
Hey, Corey says Gretna and Westside have historically had competitive show choirs as well.
Yeah, they have.
This is awesome.
Westside show choir is legit.
I do know that because it was going to create a dilemma if Westside boys basketball was playing in the state final because there was a huge show choir competition that day. I'm just full of randomness.
Yeah, I got
little nuggets here.
It's random, all right.
Yeah, but that's what high school is about, like rivalries. Everybody's got to have a rival in high school. Is there anybody that can't just rattle off who their rival is? You hear me talk about Ankeny. Urbandale and Ankeny, when I was in high school, we hated each other.
You're a child.
No. You did not. Who? What was your biggest rival in Northwestern High School? And don't even try and, like, poo-poo this.
Burke.
Okay, you hated Burke.
It's more of a baseball thing. Football, it was prep.
Who is Northwest's biggest rivalry right now?
I don't know.
It's your alma mater.
You got to win more. I don't know.
Well, even if you don't win, you still have a rival. I mean, my high school didn't win a lot, but we still
I don't know. I'm not for sure. I don't. What? You got? You just gassed the whole fire today. But I'll play. I'll play along. I'm here for it.
Shane, who was the rival in your high school?
Shane, did you graduate?
I graduated, yes. From Norwalk. You're talking the rival high school for Norwalk, Iowa, probably was Winterset.
Ah, yes, Class 3A.
Depending upon the sport, I mean, Indianola was there. That was probably between those two. You know, if you wanted to go with a fourth, I'm not sure. You know, maybe Southeast Polk. I mean, if you had like a...
Hey, you're not touching them now.
Yeah, the,
all, I
Southeast
say,
Polk is
all
a
these,
monster.
All these schools you're mentioning now, since you were in high school, are much larger. They're in the largest class in Iowa.
Southeast Polk. Well, I told you I saw that left
I'm
tackle.
I'm thinking Southeast Polk. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But definitely the first two. Indianola and Winterset, definitely.
What if you... Because this can be... You know, this kind of morphs into the future scheduling question in the Big Ten about protecting rivalries. What if you say a school is a rival and they don't feel the same way? Mm. Like, it's a given that Prep and Westside both look at each other as a rival. And they're a long-time rival.
Yeah.
But what if you said, when you were at Northwest, you said Burke, and people at Burke at the same time were like,
oh, what? In baseball, it was real. Coach Hanson, Coach Olson.
Wouldn't it be nice to go to a school where... Everybody, you were everybody's rival, like Prep, for example.
And sometimes it can be pretty quick too. I would put Ralston in that discussion for sure, because I felt like there was ill will. Like, those were not nice games. If we went to Orville or they came to Northwest, it was Mosser will tell you, Adam Pichak, Pacheco, those guys, not. Was not friendly.
Why do I think the rivalries like back in the day with us were a little bit more intense than they are now?
See, but remember, we started this probably 4 or 5 years ago. I told you I liked the direction this was moving.
Like better?
Yeah. It has gotten much more intense. I listened to a conversation. I'm going to try to keep this loose because they'll know what I'm talking about. Between coaches the other day and basketball,
yeah,
on respective staffs arguing about the best guards in the class, each representing a different school, but they coach together in the summer. It was classic. It's a real thing. Like, I think even with all the movement, it's a real thing. You know, good on, you know, Millard West, Millard South. Like, that stuff is real. It's not fake, and I don't even think it's petty. Like, you shouldn't have to like the school down the street if it's at your expense.
So what school did you go to, Gary, again?
Urbandale.
Did Urbandale ever
he
play
Norwalk? He keeps saying that, but I don't know.
Did Urbandale ever play Norwalk?
Dude, these guys are just killing my time.
Because we're in a larger class.
Not in anything?
No.
Nothing?
No.
I was thinking that they did, but I couldn't remember.
Phil says Gretna marching band.
Yeah, I can read, Sharpie. It's on my timeline.
But you don't have Caitlin Hanna, and Westside does. See, I'm being fair here. All right, here is David. Good morning, David.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
It's tense. What's up with you?
Hey, I'm telling you, like, I've been listening the last couple of days, Dave, and I feel like Gary is pressing your
nose. Oh, there, hey, no question. No question. My man is like, I don't know, man. It's all I can do. I'm rubbing my own ears. I'm massaging my own shoulders. Like, if you could see it on YouTube, man, your boy has practiced his composure.
No, I can hear. I heard your dad voice come out the other day. I was like, oh, damn, okay. But I don't know what you got to do my man too, Shane, like that. He's asking him if he graduated.
I just wanted to make sure. I mean, I knew he stumbled into Northwest Missouri State, so I assumed he did. But I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wanted to make sure he earned it.
Hey, I tell you, a lot of times spending time in these gyms and these fields and what, I mean, obviously a lot of the rivalry is, I think, perpetuated by student sections and you know, obviously the kids that are going to the schools. You know, I find it absolutely hilarious. I love watching the student section. They can get so brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think that if you want a true measure of a rivalry, I think you got to talk to the players more, you know, because I remember in high school, you know, I went to North and I mean, oh, man, you just have a chip on your shoulder. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's just from being, you know, from North Omaha, but I mean,
they took Central off the schedule for a couple of years, the 9 years I was there. Like, we couldn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, the years I was there, there was fights, you know, Benson, we would get into.
Oh, that was real.
And yeah. I mean, it was really, really chippy, but it didn't stop us from hate. I mean, we hated just about everybody. I don't know.
Do you get a sense that the Papio South Bellevue West thing is real? Because I do.
You know, no, yeah, I think it is. You know, I think, Bellevue West is turning into similarly to a Creighton Prep, you know, even a West Side to a certain extent, to where a lot of schools want to see them fail just because of the popularity and the, you know, how they're bringing kids in and, you know, and it's just like, you know, I get it, I suppose. It's kind of like the LeBron effect, you know. You hate people when they're up and, you know, and I don't know, you know. It's just, but they win, you know. So you can't blame kids for wanting to win. At the same time, yeah, you want them to make their own path. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I wonder if the West Side Gretna rivalry would change at all once that second high school opens. I think initially they're not really planning on having a lot of seniors go to it from what I understand. But. You know, there's going to be their own. They're going to have their own rival. I mean, think about Westside Creighton Prep. You start splitting up that district, it's going to be hard for them to not have a heavy competition between each other.
Yeah.
So that could completely change the dynamic. I don't see it lasting as long as, you know, a Creighton Prep or Westside or maybe a Papio South. And I mean, Papio's got a new high school opening up too.
I'm trying to understand how that's going to work though, because I already think the Monarchs get the short end of the stick. Maybe that's just me, but. Like, they're going to have to seriously redo those boundaries. I've been saying this for, like, 4 years.
Yeah, you know, but you look at the Bellevue, the Papillion area, especially south, it's expanding so much. You know, I live farther south in Bellevue, and you start heading up to the, you know, past the K-part. I mean, they're building houses, and so the population is growing. You know, Papillion, along with Gretna and Bennington, is one of the fastest-growing communities in the state. So it is what it is, you know, but you might see more OPS kids moving in, moving out. You know, obviously I'm from up north, so I moved to a different locale, you know, to in a little bit better neighborhood than I grew up in.
So,
to, you know, for my own kids and whatnot. But
I'm glad you gave me that softball, D, because that's what bothers me so much about when people talk about movement, right? Like they all of a sudden act like kids can't want different opportunities that aren't normally presented to them, right? And this is a product of OPS. Like, my dad was assistant soup for 27 years, but the district it's changed, right?
And
there's this thing called tax-based revenues and districts. And I think sometimes people, if that's the opportunity that they want and they think that it provides something different, better, like, what am I supposed to say? Don't go do that.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, it's nothing against, I, you know, I will proudly represent North Omaha, but you know, to for an opportunity perspective for my children and you know, potentially for myself, to if I can find a location that provides them that, then absolutely. And I wouldn't blame any athlete or student or parent for, you know, doing such a thing. But real quick, I wanted to touch on the in-state athletes and offers as well. So, you know, I'm glad Nebraska's really, you know, more centralized and everything. You know, a kid like Genitone, you know, it's kind of tough because, you know, I feel like they're going to miss on him. They, you know, I feel like if they didn't get him in the first place, they might not get him again. And then I'll explain why. It's because, you know, number one, obviously, kids don't have the same loyalty. You know, when I talk to kids, a lot of them mention that they want to go to Nebraska. That is one of the places they mention first. But if they don't get to go to Nebraska first, they have a short memory. They're quick to move on because it's easy to travel. It's easy to see other places. And a guy like Genitone, whose dad, you know, he was a player at Washington State. I don't know if he's going to have that same affinity for Nebraska. So if you don't get him the first time, I don't know how likely it is. You know, his dad was a thoroughbred for Washington State back in the day. You know, they have a picture of him holding Genitone on a field during a bowl game that, you know, that they shared one time. So, you know, it could be a very much miss, and I hope they don't. You know, you talk about Denma. You know, these players you see in person that look different.
I like Corbin. I like him a lot. That might be my new pet project. I started kind of last year seeing him in person when I told the story after they beat us that morning. Like, the pads cracked just different for him.
Yeah. I walked into a room with Victor Aceli from Grand Island.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, this kid is a man.
So sometimes the clicks just sound different.
Hey, David, thanks for the call.
Corver's like no that. Problem. He's like that. And he's getting some good off-the-field tutelage, too.
So one
nutty guy working with another nutty guy.
He's got your kid going to Scott. That's amazing.
Hey, my man is like supporting his school, though. Popped in a couple of times at the business, and he's out at watching, you know, events. Good on him.
I think baseball stayed alive.
Yeah.
They just won B, boys and girls soccer.
Yeah. And he had to go watch his nephew, too.
Max.
Yeah.
They got eliminated yesterday by Lincoln East.
Yeah.
So back to recruiting. And this again circles back to our discussion yesterday about in-state recruiting. And recruiting in general. Like, you have a couple of new eyeballs that are on the staff that they evaluate talent in a different level. I mean, I appreciate if we pressed them and they wanted to be honest publicly, they would probably say, there are some guys in my own position group room that are misses. Like, misses that we offered and are here that I just don't see playing for us. But we're going to try and do the best before those guys realize that they're not going to be able to play here in our new running back room, defensive back room, wide receiver room, whatever room it's going to be, it's the tricky thing you walk when you're in charge of the program and it's your butt on the line. The assistants really don't get fired. The head coach gets fired. Is the responsibility that you give to talent evaluators that you trust their instinct, that you're able to give them that rope to say, if that's the guy you want, go get that guy. Because that's the guy you're going to be coaching. That's the guy that you're going to have with you. If you see something and you're comfortable enough, because I trust you, go get him. Do what you want. Just know that you only have this number of scholarships to use. If that's what you choose to go, I got you. I got you, and you got that guy. That's a tricky situation if you're the head guy. Because remember, you don't fire the assistants, you fire the head coach. But it is in a recruiting room and a staff you put together. Do you have trust? Hey, you're out on the road. You all of a sudden watch a guy throwing the football or running, or you're at a spring game in Florida this week, and you see a guy make plays, and you're like, that guy can play in the Big Ten. That guy can play for me. Go ahead and offer him. Walk right up to him and offer him. You don't have to call me back. You know, let me know after you offer him before I see on social media a kid has said, blessed to have an offer from Nebraska, and I go, who's that guy? You saw him. You liked him. You're going to coach him. That doesn't happen everywhere. Some places more than others. But I think that's a sign of a good staff.
Yes and no. I think proper chain of command. It depends on, yes, if I feel like your scouting department is that buttoned up in terms of experience where you can provide that kind of autonomy with protocol. Because a coach can fall in love with a particular player, and it may not mesh with the rest of the staff. You don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or gal, for that matter. Sorry, Mom. She hates when I say gal. Female, for that matter. So if like you guys are in lockstep, and by that I mean the recruiting department, it shouldn't be that hard. But I also know that there are several schools where the head coach is the hammer. And if he doesn't want it, it's not happening. Right? Like, I'm pretty sure Coach Frost has the final say-so on whether mm-hmm. offers go out or not. He's the guy that's going to say yes or no. Now, maybe that may change. I doubt it. But it shouldn't necessarily have to if everybody's on the same page. Recruiting is hard. Because evaluating what you see in somebody, somebody else may not. I'm big into, there's lots of guys, especially in basketball, like that I don't agree with the assessment early on because I see them play against elite level competition or light competition, and they're totally different players than feasting on guys that aren't as good. Now, good on them for padding stats against people that you're better than, but I like to see like versus like. So there's really only about 6 or 7 games that I pay attention to when it comes to critiquing level of play. Right? And I'm sure I'm not alone. There are lots of people that are like that. Some guys aren't measurable guys. Some guys really trust film because they think ultimately, hey, what I see out here should be validated what I see when they don't have clothes on. Other guys are like, they're so confident. It's, do you see what I'm working with? We can teach them to do X, Y, and Z. We can't teach that. Let's take that guy. Right? So if you're pretty uniformed in thought, I could see it, but it doesn't always go like that. Listen, we just talked to Coach Hammack. Remember when we had him on when Nebraska was playing him? This was before DJ was even there. And he was pretty specific about offers come from him, and they were going to be very selective, and you had to be on campus. And I mean, like, there was some criteria there, and it hasn't seemed to hurt them because they still continue to win.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of does it different, you know?
But I do like the idea of getting out of regional. Like, if I'm a defensive back coach, I'm going to recruit my defensive backs. Yeah, I might be good in Florida and Georgia, but I'm recruiting defensive backs because they're playing for me. And I can get out of my comfort zone and go places because that's the guy I want. I like that change in the philosophy of recruiting. And I think that's a change around the country is, yeah, you have your certain areas, which your strength is, you have connections, but why shouldn't you recruit your players that are going to play for you in your particular position group? I mean, is Brian Applewhite going to get an offensive lineman? No, he should go and get the running backs. Get to know them, start the relationship, and they're going to play for him. All right, Dirk Chatelain coming up here in a little bit. Top of the hour, Alan Shipnuck will stop by here on Sharp and Betting in the Morning at 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.